Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You can reach us on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline, 780-496-0063, the River Cree Resort Casino. Excitement, bet on it. And you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Same number, 780-496-0063. Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. Brendan, the package has arrived, I see. That's one of the beauties of being in studio to do the show, is I can actually see the board. And we are going to head straight off to the River Cree Resort and Casino hotline, and we welcome back to the show the president general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, Ken Holland. Hello, Ken. How you doing?
Good, Bob. Nice to be with you.
Hey, look, some guys will do anything to avoid not seeing me. I invited myself to your place in the Okanagan, and you went off to the World U18 Championships, the Halaika Gretzky. Like, come on, man. What's going on there?
You were in the Okanagan. I was in Red Deer.
There you go.
You got some beautiful weather. It's been beautiful out here for the last 2-3 weeks. I'm actually in Vernon here, going back to Edmonton tonight. Just missed you.
Well, it was hot there for sure. So, all right. Look, all kidding aside, it's literally a year-round business right now, especially because of how things worked out with the pandemic, and you were taking care of business over the course of the last couple of weeks, getting a couple players that were theoretically headed to arbitration done. First, it was Jesse Puljujärvi, a one-year deal, $3 million, and then 2 years late last week on Kaito Yamamoto, $3.1 million. Just the thought on having those deals come together.
Well, first off, obviously happy that we avoided arbitration. Arbitration is never a healthy way to find a solution. You like to negotiate a solution. You're part of getting deals done is having relationships with your players. So I'm happy we avoided arbitration. And obviously the arbitration process is based upon comparables. We were able to find a solution. So, we feel good about the numbers. I think the players feel good about what they've got, and looking forward to getting to training camp and to see how we look.
Does arbitration? My understanding of arbitration, Ken, is that one of the big qualifiers for forwards is points per game. Does that work against the Edmonton Oilers because you have two superstars by the name of McDavid or Draisaitl who are the two highest scoring players in the league since the start of the 16-17 season? They help drive numbers for other players, or you just have to live with that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Connor and Leon drive numbers for everybody. I mean, they're two of the best, if not the two best forwards in the National Hockey League. They're two of a very, very, very small list, and certainly they make other players better. That's what great players do, and it is what it is. And certainly the two players we're talking about both play with those guys, but they complement them. So it kind of works back and forth, but certainly Connor and Leon make everybody better. It is what it is. I'm happy to have him.
All right. I'm going to ask you about Ryan McLeod. He does not have arbitration rights. His brother got 2 years at 975, and he had almost identical numbers to the same point in his career that Ryan has. Is there any concern at all that something won't get done on Ryan McLeod, or is that an inevitability?
It's an inevitability. We're going to get Ryan done. I mean, he's going to be in training camp. He'll be signed. I think that whether it's on a 1 year deal or a 2 year deal, I think they would like to see. Am I done? I'm not sure exactly if I'm done. I would say to you right now, Bob, that probably the industry is kind of, now that arbitration's over. Certainly the World Junior is on, but I've talked to a lot of managers over the last week or so, and the industry's starting to go quiet now till probably after Labor Day. There are some players that are out there that are still looking for for opportunities, and agents are calling, but most of the teams have spent their cap space, and they might have a little bit left and maybe looking for somebody that can maybe give you a little deeper between the 750 and, you know, less than $1 million mark. So, you know, once you get after Labor Day weekend and teams start thinking towards prospect tournaments and training camp, you know, you can now maybe have some conversations. But I think for the most part, everybody's kind of feeling pretty good about what they've got. They feel good about their kids. They're looking forward to getting to training camp with what they've got and sorting it all out. And we're in the same boat.
We're joined by Oilers GM Ken Hall and Bob Stauffer with you in Oilers Now. So, Ken, you know, you've got a couple guys that are going to be in LTIR, Klefbom and Mike Smith. You're going to be tight against the cap here. Is there really any pressure right now to do anything, given that the regular season doesn't start for another 2 months?
No, not really. Again, I think, like I said, I think that it's we're 2 months away. I feel good about what we were able to accomplish over the course of the summer. I think that with the growth of some of our forwards, I think we're getting, you know, obviously one of the things that we've tried to do over the last 3 years is get deeper up front. And I think we're slowly, you know, when Evander Kane came on board, and now we've kept him, and, you know, Zach Hyman, the growth of Yamamoto and the growth of McLeod and the growth of Puljujärvi. You know, I'm looking forward to getting to camp to see what guys like Holloway, Broberg, Desharnais, Samarukov, Nima Leinen, you know, certainly Stu Skinner. We're planning on Stu Skinner. Part of getting better is that the young people are pushing on, not only on your team and getting better, but the push to make your team makes you deeper. So I think I feel good about where we're at today. But, you know, if you can find somebody out there that for 750, 850, obviously anybody that makes, you know, under 1.175, you know, that gives you the flexibility that you can put that player in the minors and he's off your cap. So that's the beauty of signing somebody that between 750 and 950. Now they can come in and make your team deeper and better. Good. But if they don't win, they can go, you can put them on waivers and they're off your cap, and you can maybe tuck them away in the American League, and they can give you more depth, because over the course of 82 games, you're going to need more than 12 or 13 forwards. You're going to probably need 14, 15, 16 forwards, and realistically, you're probably going to need, you know, 9 or 10 defensemen, so you got to have depth.
We're joined by Ken Holland. Ken, 34 years ago tomorrow is the anniversary of the Wayne Gretzky sale to the LA Kings. And since then, there's always been a little bit of, and it makes sense from an Oilers fan perspective, a little bit of neurosis about sort of, you know, the market and that sort of thing. Now, I just knowing, and I'm a relatively small player in the world of hockey media, but I get calls from certain agents, hey, do you think the Oilers would? And so the question I'm going to have for you is, I think the perception of the team and the fact that they went three rounds maybe altered how certain people see Edmonton. Did you see any byproduct from that during this offseason? Were there some surprising calls, maybe from some, you know, agents representing veteran players that in the past wouldn't have looked at Edmonton, but are maybe seeing Edmonton as a viable option because of the potential of winning?
Well, let me give you an example, Bob. I know that Jim Devolano took over the Detroit Red Wings in 1983, and I don't think Detroit was any kind of a destination in 1983 to in the 80s. When the team got competitive, Detroit became a destination. I think that in the world that we live in, you know, with a cap world, players want to play on teams that are competitive. And certainly, when I became manager here 3 years ago, you know, the player it's the player development, and lots of the players that Peter Chiarelli and his people left behind when I take over have grown into important. You know, the McLeods and the Bouchards and the Yamamotos and it's drafting and developing, and I've tried to hang on to traded a bunch of picks over the last 3 years to try to in the win now mode, but I've hung on to the first round picks. And you know, we went this year, we picked one, and then we picked five. But next year, we've got most of our, I think, all of our picks except for maybe one pick. So, you know, you got to draft and you got to develop. We're trying to, certainly we're in the win now mode. When you look at the nucleus of the team and the age of the team and how good they are, we're in the win now mode. So you are spending some futures to try to win now, but you've also got to have a push of kids to in a salary cap world. So I would say to you that, you know, by in my mind, we've made the playoffs 3 years in a row. I know we lost in that playoff thing to Chicago, but we were going to make the playoffs in my mind, and then the pandemic hit, and we're building. And certainly going to the Final Four this year, you know, when you're in the Final Four, every second night in the third round of the playoffs, you're the only game in the entire National Hockey League. When we were playing Colorado, the entire hockey world was watching us, and the next night they were watching, Tampa Bay, the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think if we can continue to be competitive and continue to be compete with the elite teams in the league, I don't care. It doesn't matter about the city. It doesn't matter about the weather. It doesn't matter about the country. You're going to have players that want to come and play for your program, and that's what we're trying to build. And I think that last year going to the Final Four was an incredibly important step in that process of letting people know what a fabulous place Edmonton is to play, what an incredible fan base, what a passionate fan base, what an incredible facility. We've got one of the best facilities in the world with an attached practice rink, and that's what going to the Final Four, you know, helps get your message out, that you've got really good players, but you've also got all these other things, the fan base, the city, the facilities. I think that certainly a Final Four helps get that news out there.
We're joined by Ken Holland. Ken, and of the teams that were in the Final Four, you're the only team that had the last four number ones still with the organization. So obviously Broberg, who you mentioned, Holloway, who you mentioned in 19 and 20, and Broberg was your first round pick that you made, and then subsequently Borgo, and then ultimately Reed Schaefer this year. And I have a theory. I wouldn't trade a number one, Ken, unless I got a star player back. Like, that would be the only way I'd even contemplate doing it. How important do you think, you know, you've also got a bunch of defensemen, and I bumped into Dave Manson last night. DeHernay, Niemelainen, Sam Marukov. You need, you know, one of those guys to take a step here in the next couple of years. But, you know, when you talk to, you know, maybe the agents out there, are they aware of, you know, you got a stable of three first-round pick forwards that are coming that aren't contributing yet to this year's to the team, and then you've got some prospect D that could make it as well. When you have conversations with these guys about potentially placing their players, are they aware of the depth of what you've maybe built up here?
I believe so. I mean, everybody's got information and pro scouts and statistics. But, you know, what I like about those guys you just mentioned, you know, Darren, I think, is 24. You know, they're 22 to 24. They're coming into, you know, that's the sort of the age when most of them, you know, you start to enter the National Hockey League. Broberg got his feet wet last year. Niemelainen got his feet wet. Sam Rukov played the one game. It was a tough night in St. Louis, but he bounced back and had a great second half for us. And DeHernay, he's 6'7". He's unique. You know, where do you find 6'7" defense with a big 240, 45 pounds? So I'm excited going to training camp, and I think that we are deeper on the back end than people think. And I think if, you know, Bakersfield's had two really good seasons down there, and these defensemen have played regular. You know, Broberg is just this year, but Sam Marukov, well, he was in Europe, but you know, Niemelainen's been there the last couple of years. DeHernay and Broberg was in the Swedish league last year, a year ago, and this year in America's Bakersfield, Nemo spent a couple of years. So they're at a good age. They're ready to push. They're looking forward to try to come in and force their way onto the team. And I think internal competition is so important in having success. So, you know, I think that when we play preseason games, I'm excited to watch these eight preseason games are going to be really, really important in us making some decisions, and also seeing if someone does go to the American League, you know, they might be closer than we think. And so I'm excited about this year's training camp.
Ken, Slater Cuckoo did not finish the season with the organization. He left for a personal leave. Where are we at with him for the upcoming year?
Well, I talked to his agent, Rich Winter, recently, and I texted a couple times, maybe this would be about 3 weeks ago, with Slater. I haven't heard anything different. I'm expecting him to be in training camp. He's preparing to go, so I'm expecting to see Slater in training camp on the ice, unless I get some different news between now and training camp. But that's the last piece of news I've got, so I'm looking forward to seeing him.
And you mentioned that you were at the Hlinka Gretzky. I watched a bunch of the games. TSN does a terrific job in those broadcasts. I got to tell you, Ken, I was really impressed with the depth of Canada's forwards. Like, there were, I'm told this is a better year. Now, tell me this, that you had a chance. It's the start of the scouting season. You're an old scout at heart. Do the chances increase that you want to hold on to your first-round pick when you've seen a bunch of kids play like the kids that played in the Laker Gretzky?
Without a doubt, I think it was very valuable for me as a manager to get in there to see. You know, I've been hearing from people in the industry, our own scouts, that 2005, you know, this draft class is a really good draft class. I know it's supposed to be really strong out in the in WHL. It hasn't been very deep the last year or two. So, you know, for me to go out and personally, I'm with you. There's probably, I don't know, six, seven, eight forwards on the Canadian team that you could make a case that put our first rounders. And, you know, there was other first rounders on these other teams. So absolutely, it was very, very beneficial for me to be able to see this class of draft eligibles. And, you know, as we go push our way towards the trade deadline, you know, and having to make those decisions, hopefully we play our way into being a buyer. And then I've got to make some decisions about, you know, what futures you want to give up. Certainly we're going to be cap challenged between the money that we've spent and being in LTI. So, but yes, it was very, very beneficial for me to see. It looks like it's going to be a really, really good draft class this year.
We kind of know what, you know, like, we'll see where Puljujärvi grows to and where Yamamoto grows to, but we've seen those guys a lot. How much of a wild card? Just one final one for you, and it's a bit of a curveball. You got Broberg on defense and Holloway at forward. I got Broberg penciled in on the team. I'm not sure about Holloway, but how much of a wild card are these two guys heading into training camp?
Well, certainly, Broberg has now played 2 years in the Swedish League and 1 year in the American League, and he got his feet wet this year, and I think when he played, we were real happy with him. So, you know, we're giving Broberg every opportunity to make the team. I mean, he's probably going to have to play his way off the team more than play his way on the team. Based, I thought he had a real good year in Bakersfield. You know, obviously after the top five, right now as we speak, you know, I'm not sure where Slater Koekkoek is at, and then we're into Broberg, Niemelainen, Desharnais, that competition. I mean, and Samarukov, and expecting one of those for sure to be on our team, one of those young defensemen. Holloway's going to be, it's a little more challenging with the signing of Janmark, and you know, Fogel is here as a left winger. Whether Nugent Hopkins plays left winger, if he goes in the center, then you got McLeod that can play left winger center. You know, obviously with the re-signing of Evander Kane, Hyman can play left wing. Hyman can play right wing. So certainly Dylan. Now Dylan provides a dimension of speed. You know, he's 6'1" and size. But I want, as a young player, he'll be in Edmonton if he's going to be in the lineup every night. I don't want Dylan Holloway to be the 13th or 14th forward. In my mind, Dylan Holloway's fighting for one of 12 spots. And if the coach tells me after training camp that he wants him in the lineup on opening night, he'll be on the team. If he's going to be a healthy scratch, he can healthy scratch and play in the American League. And when we need him, we'll call him up. But that's going to be these are the exciting decisions that we're going to have to make in training camp, because I think we've got some good young players, and I'm anxious to see where they're at. And Holloway and Broberg are two of them.
Ken, thanks for giving us 18 minutes. Enjoy your time in Vernon, and we'll possibly see you next week for the second week of the World Juniors.
Thanks, Bob.
You bet. That is Ken Holland. He is the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers, general manager, president of hockey operations. And Ken Holland was our Oilers Now headliner, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. We're going to see Trent Wilhauk Friday at the Chorus Golf Tournament. Looking forward to that. Speaking of Wilhauk Beef Jerky, it just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, Wilhauk today. We talked briefly about the Drysdale contract and Trucker Davis, Texas, on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Bob, Drysdale's contract is the best in the league. I have to concede that Shirelli did a good job on that one deal. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. Bob, I heard you were at the Cuban Assassin's 70th birthday. How was it? I was not at the Cuban Assassin's 70th birthday. Of the former Stampede wrestling greats, he would not qualify as top three for me, but whatever. There you go. Keep it coming. Bob, please convey oil country's serious hesitations and cause for alarm in regards to a possible PK Subban signing. He appears to have lost more than just a step, and unless it's a PTO and he can prove himself both by being in adequate shape by his fellow player standards, then the signing and an incentive-based contract, so if he doesn't perform, he doesn't get paid, the risk is worth more than the possible reward. That's from Jay in a tinfoil hat. If you just heard Ken Holland, that is, I think the Oilers might add another forward on a cheap deal. I don't think they're adding another D. I think they're going to let sort of the younger defenseman play it out right now. Ken Holland just joining us. Do want to mention our friends out of Brentridge Ford want you to know they've currently stocked with pre-owned Jeeps, Honda CR-V, Toyota RAV4, a Hyundai Santa Fe, and options from Chevy, GMC, and Buick. Of course, they also boast a selection of quality used Ford products for sale as well. Brentridge Ford is your Ford truck authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. You can call Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny at 1-877-477-3673. And remember, cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. They had a car show out there this weekend at Brentridge Ford. 128 in Edmonton, off to a Global News weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. We'll try to make sense of the Oilers cap situation, what the Boston Bruins are doing, and the Vegas Golden Knights, amongst other teams. Hart Levine coming up from Puckpedia.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.